Word on Today FM.
And so let's turn to our books of the year, the best fiction, and we've invited two of Ireland's leading novelists to come back again this year, Adele Coffey and Kevin Power. Thank you so much for coming in to join us. So let's get straight to your choices. Adele, your first one is a book by Ferdia Lennon, Glorious Exploits. Tell us about it, please.
Yeah, when I was thinking about my books of the year, actually, this was the one that really, really stood out for me, even though it came out way back in January this year. But it was the one that just stayed in my mind as so inventive and so original. He is a young debut novelist, Dublin born and raised, and now lives in England with his wife and child. This book, it would never in a million years, if I was to read the sort of blurb about it, appeal to me. It's set in 412 BC after the Athenian invasion of Sicily has failed and thousands of Athenian soldiers are being held captive in this quarry. And these two guys who are like sort of out of work potters with Dublin accents sort of decide that they're going to get these half starved, half dead prisoners to put on Medea, the Euripides play. And like, that doesn't sound like your ideal kind of page turner or Griffey novel, but there's something about this book from the very first page. I remember opening it and reading the first page thinking, what on earth is this? And I could not put it down. It's written in this Dublin vernacular. It's really funny. If you can sort of imagine Roddy Doyle writing this story set in ancient Sicily, you're kind of half of the way there. But what's so original about it is it's so funny, but it's also so profound because it makes a lot of comments on war, a lot of commentary on war and the brutality of war, the sort of dehumanizing effects of war, and also the futility of war. And also in all of that, you've got this love of art and culture and how Lampo and Gellon, that's the two guys' names, how they are sort of making this these plays survive, because when a culture dies out, obviously all of its art dies out with it. So there's so many very interesting comments made.
Okay.
That all sounds very earnest, but it's actually just such a fun, entertaining read.
But that's a good recommendation.
I couldn't recommend it enough, yeah.
Okay, Kevin, your first choice is one that I actually had on my list as a possibility to buy to read over Christmas. And now you've convinced me by having it on the list. But tell us why you've gone for Jonathan Coe's The Proof of My Innocence.
Oh, yeah. This is so Jonathan Coe is obviously, you know, very well established British novelist. He writes often about UK politics. One of his most famous novels is called What a Carve Up, and it's about the Thatcher years, a family saga about the Thatcher years. This is a similar book. If you liked What a Carve Up, the new one, The Proof of My Innocence, it's a cozy crime murder mystery, or a kind of parody of a cozy crime murder mystery, where the victim is really the NHS. So it becomes a kind of history, a sort of satirical history of conservatism in England over the last 40 years. And it's set during Liz Truss's very brief term as prime minister. And it's...
That makes it a small book, doesn't it?
Yeah, it should be shorter than the life of a... Was it a lettuce that...
That was it, yes.
That was right. But it takes a young kind of Generation Z student, a female student who gets involved with a blogger who's been investigating a sort of slightly radical rightist wing of the Tory party, which is a million miles removed from what Liz Truss and Kwasi Kwarteng were up to during their brief tenure in power. And he sets it within in a sort of almost Agatha Christie-style cozy crime, or Richard Osman-style cozy crime. So it's both a really entertaining kind of page-turning mystery and a very serious history of conservatism in England over the last four decades. And his ability to bring those two things together is really extraordinary. It's a great book.
I'm definitely going for that. So, Adele, you've got Jane Casey's A Stranger in the Family.
Yes, Jane Casey, people may know, is a crime writer, and she's best known for her Maeve Kerrigan series. Maeve Kerrigan is a policewoman and her boss is Josh Derwent, who is a detective inspector. Now, A Stranger in the Family is her 11th book in the series. You do not need to read the previous 10, but I would like to tell you you're missing out if you don't. But this book, you can start it on this one. You'll have everything you need to know. And I come back to these books again and again. Jane Casey writes sort of fiendishly clever plots, but really I come back for these two characters because I've described them before as the sort of Darcy and Elizabeth Bennet of crime fiction. They just have this sort of extreme sexual tension, will they, won't they, a lot of sort of back and forth and obstacles in the way of their sort of affection, their mutual affection, their mutual irritation with each other. And I just love it. And this one, actually, the amount of messages I got just from readers about this one, where people were so up in arms that she finished this book, perfectly, you know, closed it out, but then there was a kind of epilogue, and it's a cliffhanger, and we've all just been waiting now for the last year for the next book to come out, because it's a real, it was a real sort of mic drop moment in the series.
Okay. So,
dying to read the next one, but this one is absolutely wonderful. It's brilliant romance mixed with detective fiction and really clever plots.
Jane Casey's A Stranger in the Family. Your next book, Kevin, is called The Hypocrite by Jo Hamya.
Yeah, Jo Hamya, she's extraordinarily young. She's in her late 20s. This is her second novel, a British writer.
Hate her already.
Yeah. sorry, Adele.
with this book, I'm only 31 myself.
We all continue to be in our early 30s.
Indeed.
Yes. This is it's an extraordinary book. It's all set over the course of a single evening, or well, the main strand is set over the course of a single evening at the National Theatre, where a young woman playwright is staging her first play, and her father, who is a very famous, well-regarded writer, he will remind readers of Martin Amis. His books sound similar, and his career sounds similar. But she has written a play about him, and he doesn't know this. He goes to see his daughter's first play, and it turns out it's all about a summer they spent on an Italian island, where he was sort of promiscuously entertaining women of the locality, and she was kind of in her mid-teens and has kind of lingering resentments about her relationship with him and his behavior, and she's turned this into a play. So it sort of sets, you know, kind of the boomer generation with against Generation Z. In a kind of contest of values, and it talks about the way they think about art, and then it gets this kind of family dynamic very well. It's a really, really interesting book. Very, very fun to read.
Okay, that's Jo Hamya, The Hypocrite. Your next one, Adele, Chris Whitaker's All the Colours of the Dark.
Yeah, this is a big book this year. It's probably on most of the end of the year lists. Very, very appealing, very commercial, a big sort of doorstop of a book that you absolutely race through. Every chapter is about 2 pages long. It's a really enjoyable kind of saga, I would call it. It's kind of part love story, part missing person story, part crime novel, a real mishmash of genres, but it's about these two characters, and it's set over like 30 years. So you've got Patch and Saint, they're these two kids when we first meet them in a small American town. And Patch is abducted and he's held in a basement with a young woman called Grace. But then he's freed, and this all happens very early in the book, so no spoilers, but the police think that he may have imagined her, but he actually believes that, like the police think his mind was playing tricks on him, but he believes that she was real. And the book becomes this kind of quest to find this person, but also then his friend Saint, she grows up and she's on a quest to find justice, because it's also a kind of serial killer story as well. Huge in America already. Really, really enjoyable. If you liked Demon Copperhead by Barbara Kingsolver, you'll love this book. And it's going to be, it's already signed up for TV adaptation, like 3 series kind of deal. So it will be coming to TV for sure very soon.
But read it first. Okay, your next one, Kevin, is Maggie Armstrong's book, Old Romantics.
This is a debut collection of short stories by a young Dublin writer, Maggie Armstrong. It's published by Tramp Press, one of the most kind of innovative and interesting independent presses in Ireland at the moment, founded by Lisa Cohen and Sarah Davis Goff, really to publish mainly Irish women writers, but they certainly range far beyond that. This book, it's called Old Romantics. The title is ironic. The characters are neither old nor are they romantics. It's a really collection of linked stories. The main character is roughly the same in each one. It's a young woman called Margaret, who is distinct from Maggie Armstrong herself, the writer. She drifts through a world of kind of precarious employment, internships, sort of strangely empty jobs. And she has the kind of relationships that you have when you're in your 20s and you go against your better judgment because you don't know what your better judgment is yet. You're still trying to figure out who you are and who other people are and what you do. It's a very dark book. It's a very funny book. It really has the most extraordinary sense of what it's like to be young in Dublin right now. It really, I recognize Dublin in this book, and that's, yeah, it's a really, really good book.
Okay. All Fours by Miranda July. Tell us about this, please, Adele.
Yes, she's in a slightly different demographic. Miranda July, people might remember her from her 2007 collection of stories, No One Belongs Here More Than You. It won the Frank O'Connor International Short Story Award, and her film Me and You and Everyone We Know won prizes at Cannes and Sundance. So she's this very well-respected kind of artiste, I suppose. She writes books, she writes novels, she makes films. A very quirky would be the word that I'd use to describe her style, and very funny in a kind of absurd sort of Woody Allen style. This book, it was kind of described as the first perimenopause novel when it came out. And it's basically, she has said that it's not auto-fictional, it is fictional, but a lot of the details of her biographical life chime with her character. So she basically, it's a Gen X woman's midlife crisis, essentially, is what it is. She decides that she's going to go off on a kind of cross-country trip, but about half an hour into her trip, she pulls off the motorway and just holes up in a motel where she kind of goes on this sort of journey of sexual discovery with a young man. And it's just really very, very funny on the mundanity of domestic life, of being a mother, of being a wife, of the sort of boredom that you might encounter when you hit midlife, and also that sort of desire to not atrophy in midlife, you know, to sort of hope that there are still adventures for you to have. And it's very, very funny, very profound. Graphically sexual. So if you don't like that kind of thing, you probably won't like this. But I found it so unusual, completely unique, and very, very enjoyable.
Okay. Now, Kevin, you have Donal Ryan's Heart Be at Peace.
Yeah, this is a sequel. Donal Ryan's first novel came out in 2012. It was called The Spinning Heart. It's been voted best Irish book of the decade. And it really is an extraordinary novel.
Because it's authentic Ireland. He really captures the voice, doesn't he, of rural Ireland.
Absolutely. And not just a voice, but many voices. And that's the most amazing thing about that
21.
Book. It's 21 narrators. Yeah, each of them very distinct and extremely persuasive. And in Heart Be at Peace, he's done it again. He's written what counts as a sequel. It returns to the same characters, 12 years later, the same voices, the same town, sort of not quite Nina, but somewhere not a million miles from it. And it follows, you know, the same characters during that kind of
decade. You don't need to have read The Spinning Heart first, though, although you should.
There's an extra level of resonance if you have read The Spinning Heart, but yeah. I don't think it's important. No, it works extremely well as a novel. It's one of those, and I rarely cry at the end of a novel, but this one really got me, yeah, absolutely moved me to tears at the end, the closing pages. It's really an extraordinary book.
Okay, that's an excellent recommendation on that. You've gone for Sally Rooney's Intermezzo, Adele.
Yes, I will say that I was moved by the end of this novel. I did not cry, but maybe Kevin has a soft
spot. I'm not ashamed to tell listeners that I cry at the end of a novel. That's what novels are for.
Indeed. Sally Rooney's Intermezzo, it has to be on the end of your list. You know, it was one of the biggest novels of the year, very much anticipated. And I did enjoy this, and I enjoyed it more than her previous book, Beautiful World, Where Are You? It is the story of two brothers. Peter's a lawyer in his 30s and Ivan is a 22-year-old competitive chess player. And they're both mourning the death of their father, and they're doing it in different ways. Ivan starts a relationship with an older woman somewhere in the Midlands, and Peter is in two relationships, one with a very young student and one sort of non-sexual relationship with his ex-girlfriend who's the same age as him. So far, so complicated Rooney relationships. Very, very enjoyable characters, a beautiful exploration of intimacy and romance and romantic love in terms of the questions she raises about does love have to be physical? Does it have to be sexual to be satisfying? And can it just be an intellectual match and vice versa? So I really found by the end of this novel that I was very moved. I loved where it went. It was essentially the journey, particularly of Peter, the older brother, his journey through grief. It was actually very moving by the time you got to the end of it. But this book, To me, it seemed almost like a kind of a rejection of the modern sort of, you know, this, I was mentioning the very short chapters of the previous book there. Sally Rooney forces the reader to really sit down and engage and give her time and give her your attention, because you won't enjoy the book if you don't do that. So you really have to engage in what seems to me like an old-fashioned way, where books were longer, chapters were longer, and you had to read for a full hour at a time, you know, before smartphones, essentially.
Okay. Colin Barrett was here for the Culture Club earlier in the year. He did a terrific one. And you've picked his novel, Wild Houses, Kevin.
Yeah, this is Colin Barrett was known as a short story writer, as a quite a brilliant short story writer. He published his last collection, was called Homesickness, came out in 2022. And this is the first novel. It is set in Ballina. It is a kind of, if I describe it as a kind of crime story, that is sort of misleading, because while it's about a kidnapping, you know, a drug related kidnapping, it's really a sort of beautifully observed novel about loneliness and community. It's a young boy whose brother owes money to drug dealers is kidnapped by a pair of fairly inept goons and stashed in the house of a loner called Dev Hendricks. And it's about Dev, and it's about another young character who lives in the town. It's called Nikki, who's a teenage orphan, doing her best to get by, dreaming of a life, you know, kind of beyond the small world that she's stuck in. But the main thing about this novel is the language, the writing. He is an absolute a superb craftsman of the sentence. There are so many beautiful phrases in this book that he's the real deal.
So let's carry on with this podcast extra of the fiction books of the year that Adele Coffey and Kevin Parr have picked out. Kevin, I'm going to stay with you because you have a couple of extra books. You have Ravelling by Estelle Birdie.
Yeah, this is a first novel published by the Lillipup Press, another Irish independent press. It's a novel set in the Liberties, and it focuses on five teenage boys. They're all doing the Leaving Cert, and they're from wide variety of cultural backgrounds. There's Dino, who's kind of, you know, a dub. There's Hamza, who's a Pakistani Muslim. There's Bennett, whose family are from the Democratic Republic of Congo. It's a novel about a multicultural Dublin of a kind that we haven't seen that many of. And Estelle Birdie, she's worked as a journalist, and she's gone out there and listened so closely to the way people talk in this part of Dublin. The mixture of inflections, the slang, the voices. It's not a novel that has a kind of propulsive plot. It's about a year in the life. It's a kind of slice of life in that way. But the great joy of it is in just the way in which she gradually evokes these characters, their relationships, and the way they speak to each other and to themselves. Yeah, it's a really, really impressive debut.
Okay, Adele, you have also picked Colm Tobin's sequel to Brooklyn, Long Island.
Yeah, Long Island.
Which is very comfortable, enjoyable reading, I thought.
It is. And, you know, my only criticism I have of this book is that it's almost too perfect. And that's hardly a criticism, is it? It is.
Well, it starts with a bang, doesn't it? I mean, it hooks you in from the minute it starts. Oh, there's a real story here.
It's completely. So basically, it starts with Eilish opening her front door. It's 20 years on from Brooklyn. A man is at the front door. He's quite angry, and he's basically telling Eilish that her husband has impregnated his wife. And when the baby is born, he'll be dumping it on her doorstep. So get ready.
And that's not a spoiler, because that is the opening of the book, and you have to know what it is, and everything else flows from that.
It's phenomenal. So basically, Eilish takes some time to think, and she thinks, what better place to do some thinking than to go home? It's my mother's 80th birthday coming up. So she goes back to her hometown, where she re-encounters all of the people from Brooklyn, including Jim, who was the man she was in love with back then before she left to marry her Italian-American husband, Tony. So we've come full circle. It's a very interesting, very engaging story with lots of wonderful twists, actually. And when you hit the emotional twist in the book, it is just a moment of exquisite pain and devastation. And you really just have to force yourself to read on until the end, because you kind of do know how it's all going to end. But it's an excellent novel. It reads to me like an Edith Wharton book. It is like a kind of Irish take on the
age. There's some lovely little details. This might sound like an odd one to pick up, but I laughed when, for example, she came home and decided she was going to change all the domestic utility unit, the fridge and stuff like that. And the 80-year-old mother was horrified, by the way. What I have is perfectly good. Who are you coming in to change it all on me?
The relationship between the mother and the daughter and the standoff over the electrical appliances is one of the most funny, well-observed sort of parent-child relationship moments I've ever read. It's excellent. So satisfying, so much pleasure. Yeah, I couldn't recommend this enough.
And Kevin, you've gone for Lucy Caldwell and Openings, 13 Stories.
Yeah, Lucy Caldwell, she's a Northern Irish writer. She's also a novelist and a playwright. But she, for me, she's pretty much the best short story writer working in Ireland at the moment.
This Agreed. Is
her, yeah, thank you. Yeah, she's absolutely
so
phenomenal.
Good. And I wish she was so much more better known. Yeah. She's excellent.
Well, we're doing the job now, aren't we?
Okay.
That's it. Spread the word. I am evangelical about Lucy Caldwell's short stories. This is her third collection. To describe these stories, you know, to someone else, you can kind of see blank faces because they, you know, they're not dramatic stories. They're not stories in which extraordinary things happen. They're not even noticeably fancy in terms of the prose or anything like that. But they contain just incredible depths of emotional.
You recognize yourself and your life in these stories.
It's like reading a letter from a close friend about things that have happened to you too. And this collection in particular is about parenthood, or about early parenthood, having young kids. And the effects that it has on your mind, your life, your emotions. There's one story, the title story is called Openings, and it's really just about a single mom. She's separated from her husband. She's trying to get three kids through a day in London. That's all the story is about, but an entire emotional, you know, journey is in it. It's absolutely extraordinary. I think people should be shouting from the rooftops about her. And I really, as Adele says, don't understand why she's not more widely celebrated.
Now, Adele, you're slightly cheating with your last choice, given that it was released last year. But given that it won the Booker Prize this year, we're allowing it. Tell us about Samantha Harvey's Orbital.
I think we can squeeze it in there. It came out December 2023, sure. So yes, Samantha Harvey's Orbital, it won the Booker Prize this year. And I actually only read this the week before the Booker was announced because I just thought, oh, I better read that now because I haven't. And I was so taken aback by it. It's so difficult to describe. So it's about six astronauts on a spacecraft, and they're collecting data and they're rotating the Earth or whatever it is that the spacecraft do. Maybe the Earth rotates the spacecraft. I don't know. But what it is just this most beautifully observed book about what it is to be a human being, what it is to be alive, what our planet is, I'm kind of lost for words. I found this one almost moved me to tears, actually, Kevin, because it was that reminder of what a miracle it is, actually, that we've all just crawled out of the swamp and managed to evolve into what we are, and that we have this life on this amazing planet that we can't seem to find any equivalent of anywhere in the universe yet. And it's just, I felt like a brilliantly timed novel, actually. It felt like the novel that we need right now. And I know a lot of people have said that, but it really did feel like in the midst of all of the storms and all of the floods and all of the fires, this is a book to remind us how remarkable human life is and how remarkable the planet Earth is. So again, it's a tiny little book as well. Would highly recommend it. You know, you'll read it. Well, actually, you won't read it quickly because it's so meditative. You kind of stop and think a lot. So even though it's only about 140 pages long, you know, you'll read a few pages and you'll just be floored by the emotions.
Okay. You've one last one for us, Kevin.
This is Tidings, edited by Sean Farrell. So it's an anthology published again by the Lilliput Press, who also published Ravelling by Estelle Birdie. And it's an anthology. This is a very slightly self-serving choice because I have a short story in this anthology.
That's fair enough.
Don't let that put you off. It's published to celebrate 40 years of the Lilliput Press. They published their first book in 1984. And this marks their 40 years in business, which is an incredible achievement for an independent press. And they've published some really extraordinary writers over the years. This collects 14 pieces. Not all of them are short stories. Some of them are memoirs or essays by writers like Donald Ryan, Martina Devlin, Rob Doyle and Mike McCormack, who've all been published by Lilliput over the years. The notional theme is Christmas parties. But again, it strays far and wide from its brief. And really, it's an extraordinarily beautiful physical object, this book. It will be a wonderful gift. As I say, slightly self-serving recommendation, but I am recommending all of the other pieces and not mine.
Thank you so much. Kevin Parr, Adele Coffey, it has been great having you back this year. Thank you so much for all of those terrific choices. I now have a much longer list of books I'm going to have to try and read over my break over the Christmas, and I'm sure lots of other people will take up your recommendations as well. Thank you both so much.
The Last Word on Today FM.